Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
One of the things that you can do, again, with this bulletin, and that's a wonderful song, the lyrics of which you can take and keep with you if you want. It's really an expression of what I'm going to be talking about today from the scriptures as well. So I'm so thankful that when we worship, you know, we can worship along with the Word of God, and it just affirms and hopefully helps soak in the truths of God's Word. And that last one, through it all, expresses what the message really is about today. And it's entitled, When We Doubt. And also from your bulletin today, again, there's places on the back for notes if you want to use that, but on the front is the scripture that we're going to be reading, really studying and meditating on today. It's just printed right there on the front. Of course, if you have a Bible with you, you can open it to that same passage and read from your own Bible, but it's right there on the front if you want to have it in front of your eyes as you listen to it here this morning. Now, before we get to this scripture and the topic of doubt, which is our topic for today, I do want to back up just a moment and say a couple of things about this Easter season. This is, as I said at the beginning of our service, the time of year in which we read, rehearse, teach on, remember that Jesus rose from the dead, that he is risen and alive, and we really talk about, okay, what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead? We don't need new stories. You know, when we talk about Christianity, we don't need new stories. We ought to be really hesitant, really careful about introducing new stories. What we need to do is go back to the story and go back to it continually. And this is a part of the story that we revisit this time of year. It was a year ago during Sunday school. I was teaching a Sunday school class, I want to say 4th through 6th grade. Tim was in there, Luke was in there, Emma was in there, Scott, some others were in there. And this time of year, we were talking about, okay, what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead? And we just kind of laid out the timeline. And for some of the students in that class, it was the first time, really, or the first time where it sunk in, first time they discovered, okay, what did happen in the days after Jesus was raised from the dead? We talked about the timeline that he walked around in a new, resurrected, renewed body for 40 days, appeared to his disciples and to others, gave proofs that he was, in fact, raised from the dead, taught about the kingdom of God, and then after 40 days, he was taken up, or he ascended to heaven. And we had a great discussion and reading about that a year ago, and it was a great time of discovery and rediscovery, just the facts of what happened. Well, in the church, sometimes we forget those facts, even if we learned them in Sunday school once years ago, or we have learned them many times over. These events are good to revisit and to remember and to reflect on their importance. So that's what we'll be doing. We'll be talking the next few weeks about what happened with his followers after Jesus was raised from the dead. So this is a new teaching series, a new sermon series. It'll be about 4 or 5 weeks. The title of the series, I'll talk more about in future weeks, but the title of the series is May the Force Be With Us. May the Force Be With Us. And I will talk about that, and the force being God, God's presence. Now, I did start this series on May 4th, which maybe you know, it's Star Wars Day today. I'm sure everybody knows that. It's becoming more common, and is it an official holiday or an unofficial holiday? Whatever it is, it's a thing right now, and it's becoming more of a thing, it seems like. May the 4th day, of course, it's taken off of the May the Force be with you in the Star Wars, which is, you know, a rallying cry, famous notion from those movies, but it was celebrated all over the place. At the Reds game, they had Star Wars night last night. They had next door at the art museum has a Star Wars exhibit today. Did you see that? So it's May the 4th. And so what we're talking about, playing off of that on this May the 4th, is, you know, the time after Jesus was raised from the dead. It was a May the Force, that is God himself, his very presence, be with you moment for the church. Jesus saying that to his disciples, and then his disciples experiencing that through the Holy Spirit that came upon them. So we'll be talking about that in the coming weeks. Well, today we are going to talk about how do we trust God and how do we continue to live in his presence and draw on his presence even as fallible, broken, mistake-prone human beings. And one of the things that we discover, you know, as we, the song we just sang is, boy, we have doubts, we have worries, we have trouble trusting God, we have trials that really shake us up. And yet, God's presence is with us. And so how do we make sense of that? And how do we learn to trust more and more by drawing on his presence with us? So this morning's message, again, from the front of your bulletin is entitled, When We Doubt. Our big idea for today, and I'll return to this a couple more times, is this. Even in the presence of God, we, as fallible, fallen human beings, sometimes have trouble trusting God. Say that again. Even in the presence of God, we, as fallen, fallible human beings, sometimes have trouble trusting God, even when in his very presence. Now, this is seen in our scripture from today. It's Matthew 28, and let me go ahead and read it, and then we will talk about it. This is Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, and it says this, Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, here we have a famous passage in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's one in which Jesus gives his famous Great Commission. Go and make disciples. One of the things, though, that I've read, as I've read and taught on this passage for years, that I've often passed by or overlooked or not focused on as much, is that there is in this moment some of his disciples apparently are dealing with some doubt. They had some doubts as to who he was, what was happening with him, what was going to happen to them. We aren't told a lot in Matthew's gospel about the nature of their doubt. I'll say a couple more things about that in a moment. But let's just say, first of all, there is a mention here in that period after Jesus has been raised to life and before he's ascended to heaven where some are struggling with doubt. Now, that's Matthew. Let's mention also the other Gospels. Remember those four Gospels that tell the story of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Luke, after Jesus was raised from the dead, there's also a mention of some struggling with some doubt. In John, there is a famous doubter. You remember a man named Thomas. Doubting Thomas said, Lord Jesus, I won't believe this whole thing is real. I won't believe this is you. I won't believe you're raised unless I can see and feel the nail prints on your hands. Remember, that was Thomas. A famous example, striking example of doubt. Again, in this period after Jesus has been raised from the dead. Now, in Matthew, again, we're just told that some doubted. Some worshiped, but some doubted. What were they doubting? They were perhaps unsure if this, in fact, is Jesus raised to life. resurrected from the dead. They may have thought it was some sort of ghost. There was some Jewish understanding at the time that a person's soul or ghost, you know, would kind of leave their body when they died. So they may have thought something like that was going on. So that, in other words, they may have doubted that Jesus, in fact, had conquered death like he said he would and been raised to life. They may have been doubting or questioning his divine nature while others were accepting it. There may have been some that were doubting or questioning that. Whatever the case, Matthew tells us some worshiped, some hesitated. Some had trouble trusting. Some had trouble believing fully. Now, one other thing from this Matthew passage, again, with it in front of you, and you see that word in verse 17, it's doubt. And this is an interesting word to me. I want to mention to you that it's translated doubt in many of our English Bibles. The Greek word there is, first of all, a word that sounds good. It's kind of a fun-sounding word. It's distazo. And it's used only twice in the New Testament, both times by Matthew. So Matthew alone uses this word, doubt, distazo. Now, there are other instances and other ways of explaining doubt or a lack of confidence, a lack of belief, a lack of trust in the New Testament. But Matthew alone uses distazo. The other place that he uses it, I want to mention to you because it's such a striking picture of what we're talking about today. And maybe as I'm talking about this, you might have a guess at where else in his gospel Matthew uses it. But he uses it in the famous story in Matthew 14 of Jesus walking on the water and his disciple Peter trying to walk on the water. And beginning okay, and beginning well enough, but then eventually he begins to sink. He, and the word there is distazo. He doubted, or he lost confidence, or he didn't trust, or another translation in Matthew for this word, I think it's a good translation. It's an interesting one. He hesitated. So some worshiped, some hesitated. Peter looking at Christ walking in the water, then he hesitated. Something cropped up. I'm not sure. So those are the two places where this word distazo is used. So think about that picture of Peter. He's going, but then, I'm not sure. And he sinks. Okay, so what do we do with doubt? What do we do with the fact that after Jesus was raised to life, his disciples, his first disciples, struggled with some doubt? Remember, even in the presence of God, we sometimes have trouble trusting God. So what do we do with all this? Well, first let's talk about those men, people like Peter and Thomas. Let me say this. These men, they were no dummies. They were not morally bankrupt people. In fact, they went on to live faithful, fruitful lives in the service of Christ, even to the point of death. Preachers and teachers and Christians, you know, we sometimes kind of, they're targets for us. We think them of fools because of their struggles with faith and with trusting God. And think about Peter, his struggles. I mean, Peter was in process. He was trying to make sense of this. He was trying to trust God. And his failures to do so are recorded in Scripture for centuries later. We get to read them and think about them and just see his personal struggles. But these guys are human. The person struggling with God, working to understand God's will for his or her life, working to trust God, is doing the right thing. In our humanity, there will be failures in this. There will be weakness. There will be difficulty to understand. But church, it is far, far better to work with God and continue to wrestle with God and continue to pursue the presence of God while we struggle, while we wrestle, while we work to understand, than to give up or to abandon the whole project itself, totally. Or to turn one's back on God, totally. Isn't it far better to say, Lord, I'm struggling here, I'm struggling to believe, help my unbelief, and to stick with it? That's the best course. It's normal to struggle with, to understand, to struggle to trust. By the way, we're no dummies either. We're not morally bankrupt folks. I mean, think about it this way. These men, people like Peter and Thomas and the other disciples, they were in the presence of God literally. And think about that. And when I say the presence of God, I just mean God was present with them. God in the flesh. Jesus was right in front of them. They could see him with their own eyes. They could reach out and touch him. And yet, some doubted. We ourselves, as followers of Christ, can live in and with the presence of God. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. But in some ways, we might say, boy, it was much easier for them to trust and believe because here he was right in front of them. We, too, have God with us, but not in front of us, not in front of our eyes like they had. So again, all of this is to say, when we struggle with some doubts, God, are you really going to take care of this for me? God, do you really love me? God, are you really going to help? And is this really going to, can I really trust you with this area of my life? When we do that, we're normal. By the way, what I think is not normal, or at least not good, is when someone claims to never have any doubts or never have any difficulty trusting God. That strikes me as just not accurate or dishonest or something. Because as fallible human beings, we are prone, and we see this throughout the scripture, we see it throughout our lives, to at times be in process, like Peter was. Say, Lord, okay, well, I'm not sure. Okay, then I hesitate. That's normal. Now, having said that, these men on that mountain with Jesus, some worshiped, some doubted. The ones who doubted, they are every man, every woman, is the case that I'm making. But we also must say this. While we affirm that doubts, hesitation, a lack of trust or a slowness to trust is normal for mere mortals like us, God no doubt wants us to trust him and wants us to give our doubts and our full trust and obedience to him. In our passage today, it says some worship, some doubt it. Again, God wants everyone, though, to worship in fullness of faith. The fact that it takes time to get there, or we're not all there at the same time, doesn't then mean that God does not want, for our good and his glory, full trust in him. If you're listening today, here in our worship gathering, this message will be online as well, wherever you're listening today, and if you're listening and you're a not yet follower of Christ, you've heard the gospel, other people have said things about Jesus to you, you've heard some things about it, but you just, in your heart of hearts, have not made that step to trust and believe and follow him, I want you to hear me say, God wants you to follow him. He wants you to trust him. He is trustworthy. He is patient with us and understands our hesitancy, but he wants us to come to him and to come to him in full faith for the forgiveness of sins. If you're here today, you're listening online, and you're an already Christian, you've given your life to Christ at some point in the past, you're walking with him day by day, week by week, but you're struggling to trust God with some area of your life, your family, your future, your health, your finances, whatever the case may be. God wants you to trust him with that. He is trustworthy. He wants to grow your belief and your faith and your confidence in his loving care for you. That's what he wants. So we say, well, it's normal to take some time to get there. It is. But God wants each and every one of us to get there, to a place of confidence and trust and worship of him. He is, I should say, also from the scriptures, and maybe you know some scriptures like this, Old and New Testament. Does he at times get frustrated with, you think of the life of Jesus. Did Jesus ever get frustrated with the lack of faith or belief of his disciples? Sure he did. Were there ever consequences for people who did not believe or did not trust what God said? There were. So we remember that as well. However, on this moment on the mountain, and some are doubting, some are worshiping, does Jesus kick the doubters off the mountain? He does not. Thanks be to God for that. When Peter sinks, does Jesus give up on Peter? He does not. Thanks be to God for that. Jesus' rebuke of his disciples and their lack of faith, their lack of trust, we could go and we could read all of that. But this is a God who is patient, who is slow to anger, who is abounding in love. And so while he will correct, discipline, rebuke our lack of confidence and trust and faith, he's patient with us as we are in process and develop it. Now, finally, what do we do? You're listening to this, and again, my contention is, if we're honest, we have places, moments in life, seasons, maybe perpetually, maybe daily, where we struggle to trust God. We hesitate, we pull back, and we, you know, go into to fear, worry, etc., whatever. What do we do in those moments? I said in the big idea, even in the presence of God, we have trouble trusting God. People have trouble trusting God. So what do? Here it is. Stay in the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. It's what Peter and others did throughout their walk with Jesus. As Jesus pursued them, they stuck with it. Even these men on the mountain, some worshiped, some doubted, but they were in the presence of Jesus. For us, we can go to the presence of God anytime, anywhere. A believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit within him or her. There are times in our walk with God where we just say, I mean, this has been my experience over and over again, year after year, month after month, week after week. I know that God wants me to trust him fully. I think in some ways that's what he's doing with all of us. All our journey through life is a journey of learning to trust God more and more and more. I have moments, and we all do if we're honest, where that we know that's true, but it's just not there. We look down and say, Lord, I know you want me to trust you. I know what your word says. In my heart of hearts, it's not there yet. What do I do? Tell him about it. Spend time in his presence. That's what we're doing this morning. We've come to worship him. We bring our trust or bring our doubts, our questions, but we come to worship. Monday through Saturday, we have doubts and questions and things arise during the week that we don't see. What do we do with it? We continue to be in his presence. Share with him about where we're struggling, where we're hesitating. It's like the prayer of that person in the scriptures, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm saying to God, Lord, I want to trust you. I do. I want to trust you more and more. May we do that through this Easter season. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, we've been seeing the stories of others from your word. We're thankful for them. And even thankful, of course, for the stories that we've been given, preserved of the failings of your original followers, their struggles, not only to understand, but to trust and to believe. We've seen their doubts. And Lord, now we confess our own doubts, our own struggles. And we say together, Lord, we believe, we trust, but we want to trust you more. Forgive us the times when we don't trust you as we ought to, and help us to do so more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.